It's Monday, July 17th, 2023. The time is 12:53 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Welcome once again to our study for today. We're in the middle of the day today. I feel extremely weak. I feel at least I don't have tooth pain of a great amount, but I do still have the pain in this 236 that tells me that, I mean, it's not sensitive to heat or cold, but it is, it's not minor. It doesn't feel minor because it feels like it's the cause of all the other issues in my illness, being weak and general malaise, just very weak, and also a small amount of, I mean, it doesn't hurt when I chew, but it hurts sort of as a general matter of course. It seems to be a tiny bit of pain there, as well as the malaise going on all the time connects it. Yeah, and when I push on it, it does hurt more. So I know that although it doesn't hurt to a large extent, I still know that that's the cause of this, or I believe that's the cause of it. But if we were to do a root canal, I was thinking from before, if we pulled 3.7, which we did, and the pain moved to 3.6, if it's a referred pain, then if we pull 3.6, the pain might be referred to 3.5. But by the same token, if we do a root canal on 3.6, the pain may be referred to 3.5 or somewhere else in the mouth, if it's not a simple problem. I mean, we might hope it's simple and that we just have to do a root canal and the pain goes away and everything's good. But generally, that does not improve health. As you know, to do a root canal, you're losing some of your nerve in your body. So it's not something we want to really jump on too hastily, but I can't function the way I am. Or I'm in risk. I'm at higher risk right now because of being weak, that I could get into some trouble for that reason. So that's the health update. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, said, "A man who has not passed through the inferno of his passions has never overcome them." Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, said, "Be bent and you will stay straight. Be empty and you will remain complete. Be worn out and you will stay new." They're thought-provoking words. Mark Twain, "It is better to deserve honors and not have them than to have them and not deserve them." Very well put by Mark Twain, wouldn't you say, little children? Also, the song from the movie Titanic. Oh, yes. One thing I did not yet do. Let's look it up. It's called "My Heart Will Go On." I want to say that it was a big hit, but I don't know because I've never looked up the chart until now. I believe it was a big hit. We'll see whether it made the charts here. Oh, it's not. Yeah, here it is. Finally, I found it. Oh, my goodness. It's number one everywhere. There's so many places. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 charts. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 different charts around the world. Number one on all 40 of those different charts. Plus, there were some other charts where it didn't do quite so well. And this song was from 1997 and 98 on the charts. The movie must have been, I suppose, 1997. Is that correct? Let's just check. Single was released in November of 97 from the movie Titanic. Right? It was a 1997 movie, but it was made by a Canadian filmmaker, James Cameron. Very, very successful movie, financially successful movie. It was recorded as the theme for the film Titanic, and it is Celine Dion singing My Heart Will Go On.
I feel you, that is how
Well, Celine Dion is a Canadian from Quebec, and she married her business manager, as I understand it. And they up till now, they've been married for a long time, as far as I understand it, as well. Luke wrote that he endeavored to write his account to Theophilus in our Born Again article, chapter 2, paragraph 4a, from Luke, also chapter 1, verse 3, in logical order, and his desire for accuracy is noteworthy from the same verse. Luke was a physician and beloved, Colossians 4 and 14. So he was evidently educated, and his writing of Acts, as we see from the writers mentioned therein of Theophilus and of Luke's gospel, which he called his other account, may be justified as to its attribution. From the book of Acts, we learn of Paul's, that is Saul's, having been struck blind while traveling to Damascus. The encounter by Paul of Jesus on the road to Damascus, that's the resurrected Jesus, as here described in Luke's account in Acts, is perhaps the very same event Paul describes at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, as being, quote, caught away, unquote. Quote, to the third heaven, unquote. The event that marks Paul's conversion to Christianity near Damascus, we pray, will not be diminished by making use of it as a chronological marker in our discussion. Paul was a vehement opposer of Christianity, approving before of the death of the Christian prophet Stephen. In 2 Corinthians 11, 30 to 33, Paul writes of his escape at Damascus, which from his letter to the Galatians dates 3 years after he saw the bright light on the road. At Galatians 1 and 18, he mentions that 3 years passed, after which he went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, also known as Peter, which within the context of Galatians 1 and 16 can simply mean 3 years after his conversion. Paul continues at Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, by mentioning that the interval of 14 years is applied to his second visit to Jerusalem, which was with Barnabas, and is most simply understood as being 14 years after initial conversion. According to this, Paul visited Jerusalem twice in the 14 years after receiving Christ. The resurrected Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus in a bright light that was seen by the others too. The first visit to Jerusalem being after 3 years, that is 3 years after his conversion, and the second visit with Barnabas. At least we've interpreted it as being after the conversion rather than after some other point in time. This is the logic by which the understanding has come. We are merely theorizing that these 3 and 14 year intervals are both measured from the time of the event of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, although they may be either inclusive or exclusive in our view. We mean 13 years exclusive equals 14 years inclusive. If Paul's conversion was in 30 CE, he probably visited Jerusalem. Thus, in 30 plus 13 equals 43 CE. Exclusive, though, would mean 44 CE. 14 years exclusive. In other words, not including the first year. But if Paul is converted in 31 CE, inclusive equals 44 CE. So in other words, if we want his visit to coincide with 44, which is when Herod Agrippa the First died, then we need to take it as inclusive if it's from 31 CE. The logic is thus far as clear and simple as possible. So we understand that Herod Agrippa the First died in 44 CE, and that his successor, Herod Agrippa the Second, is the one we read about yesterday in the book of Acts, who came with Bernice, who was his sister, according to Wikipedia. In our history, we could look at numbers. First, we'll look at our Proverbs for today, if you would, little children. Proverbs 17 and 7, for anyone senseless, the lip for anyone senseless, the lip of uprightness is not fitting. So this is interesting. It's similar to what Mark Twain was saying about to have an honor and not deserve it. How much less so for a noble, the lip of falsehood. That is, how much less so for a noble is the lip of falsehood fitting? For anyone senseless, the lip of For anyone senseless, the lip of uprightness. The lip of uprightness, too many P's in that, that's the problem. For anyone senseless, the lip, let's just say, for anyone senseless, the word of uprightness is not fitting. How much less so for a noble, the word of falsehood. In Hebrew, the word lip means words, whereas in our language, it doesn't mean that in English. So we should say word, perhaps. Now, I said yesterday in Numbers 16 that there was a grammatical mistake, but I'm wrong about that. I checked it afterwards, and I realized it is wrong in a sense that it could have been worded better. Now I'm not going to be able to find it, perhaps. Yeah, here it is, I think. Wait a minute. Whoever he may choose will come near to him, verse 5 of Numbers 16. Whoever he may choose will come near to him is acceptable, because whoever will come near to him is an acceptable construction. But it should say, whoever it is whom he may choose will come near to him. That would be far more correct, because you can't say whoever he may choose. You have to say whomever he may choose, unless it's in this structure where the whoever he may choose is the subject of the sentence, which it is in this case, which is true in this case. So it's not a problem grammatically, but it's confusing to anyone who is not certain of grammar, which I didn't apparently succeed at doing yesterday. Anyway, I am, after all, rather weak as well. Numbers 17. Jehovah spoke to Moses. We've done this chapter, so we're not going to do this. It's about the rods, the budding of the rods. We did this some studies ago, a number of studies ago, so if you'd like, you can look that up in the videos that I post online, and it was a while ago. We did it because it fit numerically somewhere in our study sequence. But you can hopefully find that somewhere if you search for it among the videos. I'm not sure how easy it is to find. But we don't have time to do it today. Now Acts chapters 26. Little children. Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak in behalf of yourself. So Paul is making his defense to Herod Agrippa II. Then Paul stretched his hand out and proceeded to say in his defense, concerning all the things of which I am accused by Jews, King Agrippa, I count myself happy that it is before you I am to make my defense this day, especially as you are expert on all the customs as well as the controversies among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. Indeed, as to the manner of life from youth up, that I led from the beginning among my nation and in Jerusalem. All the Jews that have been previously acquainted with me from the first know, if they but wish to bear witness, that according to the strictest sect of our form of worship, I lived a Pharisee. And yet now, for the hope of the promise that was made by God to our forefathers, I stand called to judgment. Whereas our 12 tribes are hoping to attain to the fulfillment of this promise by intensely rendering him, God that is, sacred service night and day. Concerning this hope, I am accused by Jews, O King. The hope of the promise that was made by God to Paul's forefathers. Why is it judged unbelievable among you men that God raises up the dead? I, for one, really thought within myself I ought to commit many acts of opposition against the name of Jesus the Nazarene, which in fact I did in Jerusalem. And many of the holy ones I locked up in prisons, as I had received authority from the chief priests. And when they were to be executed, I cast my vote against them. And by punishing them many times in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to make a recantation. And since I was extremely mad against them, I went so far as to persecuting them even in outside cities. So Paul was one who obviously did not believe the resurrection. So it's very interesting. He asks those present with him here, why is it judged unbelievable among you men that God raises up the dead? Amid these efforts, after he spoke about his own disbelief, unbelief, as I was journeying to Damascus with authority and a commission from the chief priests, I saw at midday on the road, O King, a light beyond the brilliance of the sun flash from heaven about me and about those journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice say to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? To keep kicking against the goads makes it hard for you. But I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Nevertheless, rise and stand on your feet, for to this end I have made myself visible to you, in order to choose you as an attendant and a witness both of things you have seen and things I shall make you see respecting me, while I deliver you from this people and from the nations to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, in order for them to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by their faith in me. Wherefore, King Agrippa, after Jesus' speech was completed there, Paul quoting from it, I did not become disobedient to the heavenly sight, but both to those in Damascus first, and to those in Jerusalem, and over all the country of Judea, and to the nations, I went bringing the message that they should repent and turn to God by doing works that befit repentance. On account of these things, Jews seized me in the temple and attempted to slay me. However, so the Jews are persecuting Paul because he became a Christian, not because he persecuted Christians. However, because I have obtained the help that is from God, Paul said, as he continues, I continue to this day bearing witness to both small and great, but saying nothing except things the prophets, as well as Moses, stated were going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and as the first to be resurrected from the dead, he was going to publish light both to this people and to the nations. Now, as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, now Festus was the governor who was also present, You are going mad, Paul. Great learning is driving you into madness. But Paul said, I am not going mad, Your Excellency Festus, but I am uttering sayings of truth and of soundness of mind, In reality, the king to whom I am speaking with freeness of speech well knows about these things, for I am persuaded that not one of these things escapes his notice, for this thing has not been done in a corner. Do you, King Agrippa, believe the prophets? I know you believe. But Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time you would persuade me to become a Christian. At this Paul said, I could wish to God that whether in a short time or in a long time, not only you, but also all those who hear me today, would become men such as I also am, with the exception of these bonds. And the king rose, and so did the governor and Bernice, and the men seated with them. But as they withdrew, they began talking with one another, saying, this man practices nothing deserving death or bonds. Moreover, Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar. That's the end of Acts chapter 26. And we have a little more time now. Little ones, we've got 7 minutes or so. 6 minutes, actually, now. So, I mean, we have to do something about, at some point, we have to do something with my tooth, I believe. Now, maybe, we know that the nerve is considerably exposed there. At least the missing crown part of the tooth is a very sizable chunk, almost down to the gum line. And it is down to the gum line in the middle of the tooth, I believe, very close to the gum line. So that nerve is exposed, and therefore it's sensitive, perhaps, and it's also perhaps dying. And so a root canal may well also, possibly, at least, but most people would think that a root canal would solve the problem. I'm just not so sure. Because of the problems I've had with 3-7, which had a crack in the back of it, but which was not otherwise indicating any reason for pain. And there was pain in 2-7 also after that, but it was a tooth that was slightly loose. Now, 3-8 was a wisdom tooth that was impacted, and it had been pulled out initially a long time ago. And it may have been a difficult extraction, but I was put to sleep before the extraction occurred, so I was asleep under general anesthetic during the extraction. I don't know what happened during the extraction, but since it was an impacted tooth, it must have been difficult to get out without damaging 2-7. I mean 3-7, not 2-7. I wonder if 2-7 could have been damaged at the same time. I don't know, but 3-7 was cracked at the back of it. The first time we noticed it, though, was sometime later, not at the time. And the crack was noticed by a dentist in Barhaven, but I don't want to name any names, but he tried to fill that crack, and it looked like that tooth was serviceable as long as 2-7 was still in place, but when I experienced extreme pain in 3-7, that's when it had to be pulled out. I couldn't sleep at night. It was so bad. It was almost, you know, it was very, very serious. But it was not constant, but, you know, it was definitely an ongoing serious issue. So I decided, because of the crack at the back, I decided to pull the tooth, which my dentist in Aylmer did for me, and I went to him initially because of wanting to get mercury detox and have the mercury fillings removed. But when this tooth, so that was 3-6, we removed a mercury filling in 3-6, and that's why that so that filling is a significant was a significant size filling in 3-6 to start with. That's partly why this problem is as bad as it is, I would think. But I'm feeling some pain again now, just now. The infection, I'm still taking the antibiotic right on schedule, clindamycin. And I've learned a lot about clindamycin in the meantime also. It can cross the blood-brain barrier, which is not a good thing. So I'm also taking vitamin K2 in greater quantities in the MK4. Only MK4 can cross the blood-brain barrier, or vitamin K2. But it can help with certain brain injuries caused by ischemia, for example, or lack of circulation. It improves circulation in a lot of parts of the body, including the kidneys. It can actually, but MK7, I believe, is the one used for kidney failure. And I'm taking MK7 as well. But MK7 can't cross the blood-brain barrier. It's generally good to keep all your teeth nerves. So if you have to have a root canal, it is not really desirable in most cases, unless it's painful, unless it is infected or painful. And it has to come out for some reason. But if you pull the tooth out, you're risking damaging other teeth too. So when we pulled 3-7, we may have damaged, I don't think we damaged 3-6 at all, but we may have cracked it somehow, because it did have a chunk break out of it later. But so a hairline crack caused by the pulling of the tooth could be the case as well, right? So when we pulled 3-8, there was some possible damage. It was impacted. When we pulled 3-7, it was not impacted, but it had a crack at the back of it and was painful enough. The wisdom tooth had no pain at all. It was just impacted, and my dentist thought it was safer to pull it out rather than to just leave it there impacted, which is sometimes what they do. Now, whether it would have been better in retrospect to just leave it as it was, not do anything, that's another question that we should think about. But when we pulled 3-6 out, the pain that was in 3-6 seemed to then move to... we didn't pull 3-6. When we pulled 3-7 out, the pain that was in 3-7 moved into 3-6. Now it starts to bother me for no reason, which 3-7 was doing for apparently no reason other than the crack. But maybe the crack would be enough to cause that pain. So, our study's done. Okay. I love you very much, little children. It's July 17th, 2023, 1327 hours on my behalf. This is Sissy, and this is Ellie saying bye for now.